This show's rated E for explicit, which means young people should not be listening because it might harm their little ears.
Earmuffs.
Their little, perfect little, innocent ears. Forget all that. If you're a young salesperson and you're looking to make it, listen up. I'm giving you a webinar that's going to make you money. It's going to cost $29. You have the money because your mom's still paying your phone bill.
But Jeffrey, can I get this information out there for free? Come on, I'm a young professional.
Put $29 where your mouth is and start to learn sales strategies that actually work. I'm going to give you 6.5 of them. You're going to get smart. You're going to make sales. You're going to make money. June the 26th. If you're a millennial, a Gen Z, a Gen XYZ, a Gen ABC, get your ass on this webinar. Email helpme@gittimer.com or just look at the show notes and click the link.
And I started running people's Instagram accounts. I went to a little gift shop in downtown Asheville that I loved, that I was a customer of. And I said, hey, I love your shop. I love what you do, but your Instagram makes me sad because it could be so much better. I'd love to run your Instagram account for you. And it's $300 a month. And they said, yeah, of course. So I got
my
first client.
So your Instagram makes me sad. Not yeah. It blows, not it sucks.
He was being
not
nice.
Not it's stupid, not it insults other people. Not it has nothing to do with running your business, not your Amar. It makes me sad.
Hey, he got the sale.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay. Everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die America. No. The planet's premier sales and personal development podcast. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and the Sales Manifesto. And
I'm Jen Glucko, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. Welcome to Sell or Die, guys. This is going to be an amazing episode. I am so glad you're here.
Who we got today, Jenny?
We have the one, the only, Tyler J. McCall. He is an Instagram and social media marketer, strategist, and coach for creatives and online business owners and diehards. Do not tune out on this one, because if you are in sales, if you sell anything on the planet, he can help you too.
He is going to give you insight on merging content with storytelling, and he will give you a way to put your content up online and make it attractive.
I want to talk about this for a second, because we've had a bunch of episodes on social media, like with Facebook people or LinkedIn people, or even I think something on Instagram. And what you might not realize is that if you do this right, you can actually eliminate the need. That's right, I said eliminate the need to make all of those boring cold calls. Because what you can do is you can create an attraction system where people are so attracted to what you're posting online that they're calling you and they're messaging you and they're contacting you to buy your stuff.
And Jenny, you are making headway with your Instagram stories, and they're fun. They combined your fashion and your travel and our doggies, and they are fun. They're fun and funny.
I have fun with them, and I full disclosure, I found Tyler online, and I was attracted to his stuff, and I have
Wait,
become
you stalked Tyler J. McCall?
I did, yeah, a little
okay,
bit.
Cool.
I know all about his Target shopping habits, and they're amazing.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
Like
isn't that, so it's so
jelly.
If you're on Instagram, don't worry about, well, I don't want people to know about me. That's bullshit. They want to know about you.
Of course they want to know about
they
you.
They want to know what you buy at Target. I would want to know if you go to the checkout or the self-checkout.
Well, it depends on how long the line is.
No, it depends on who you're there with. Because when we're with Gabrielle, we have to go into self-checkout.
Our new Target, the way they remodeled it, has so many extra self-checkouts now that it's like hard not to go there. But that's besides the point.
Oh.
Okay. So full disclosure, after stalking yet really loving Tyler online, I became a member of his follower to fan society because I wanted to see how it could help me grow my Instagram and create attraction for my followers and create an easier sales funnel for me. And it's freaking phenomenal. So we're going to put a link to that in the show notes, but he's not here to pitch his stuff. He's here to help you and tell you how to grow your following online so that you can eliminate the boring shit you don't like in selling, like cold calls.
But before we get to Tyler, I'll bet you we have a five-star review.
Indeed, we do. This week it comes from VoxAmp, and VoxAmp writes, Jeffrey and Jennifer, a dynamic pair that bring practical how-to advice on how to improve your sales skills. So many podcasts nowadays are total fluff, but not these two. Their content is timely and relevant, and the guests they bring on are the same. I've been listening since way before the medium became popular, and these two get it right. Keep it up.
Aw.
Yeah.
VoxAmp, we love
what
you.
What a guy.
What's a girl? Maybe it's a girl.
VoxAmp?
It seems that it's not gender specific to me. Here's the point. If you leave us a five-star review, A, we love it, and B, we want to read them here on Sell or Die. So just go to iTunes and leave us a five-star, leave us five stars, and then leave us a review.
So let me introduce Tyler J. McCall. He tells a story about how he transitioned from a small marketing job at the YMCA to being one of the best teachers of Instagram on the internet. He's going to explain why, for marketing purposes, it's not the quantity of followers, but the quality of followers that matter. And he's going to give you tips on how to tell the best Instagram stories to increase engagement and make more sales. But I'm going to just go back a little bit. This guy's amazing. Take notes, listen twice. Please welcome the great Tyler J. McCall.
Tyler, welcome.
Welcome, Tyler.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
No, you're more than welcome. And the rumor is you're actually moving back to this neck of the woods, correct?
Yes, and just 9 days from recording this episode, my partner and I will be loading up a truck and making the drive from Chicago to Asheville, North Carolina, where we'll be moving. And we bought a home. We're nesting hard, y'all. We're getting all kinds of moved in and settled down. And
cool.
He and I are getting married this fall, so it's all so exciting.
Oh wow! Are you getting married in Charlotte?
We're not in Charlotte. We're getting married in North Carolina down on the coast, though.
Oh, cool. That'll be beautiful. Yeah, that'll be amazing.
That's very nice, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
If we are invited, we will probably attend, but we're not going to bring a gift.
What? Okay. We always bring gifts.
Oh.
And they're really good ones.
Yeah.
Come on, Jeffrey. We want the invite.
Okay. So tell me, just first of all,
yeah.
Let's talk about your organizational skills, because I think that's a very important part of the whole process of Instagram. It is basically a group of a bunch of cult people who get together and form their own. They call them tribes, but really they're cults. And everyone tries to attract people into their group.
For the record, I'm totally a groupie of Tyler.
Yeah, that's okay. You're totally fine. Because
Thank
he
you.
Posts stuff that you're interested in and that you can learn from or laugh from or, you know, feel like you're part of, or you agree with him philosophically, and that's how the process starts. But when you're at the YMCA, it's a whole different set of circumstances because, A, they're not for profit. B, they try to be as inclusive as possible, but really they're not. So I'd like to hear your take on that, Tyler.
Yeah, I think a lot of what I learned from my experience, I was at the Y for, I was involved with the YMCA for a decade, worked at the YMCA full time for 6 years, and I got my start at the YMCA in college, actually, through some college learning programs they had, and did lots of trainings in Charlotte at the Dowd YMCA. So got my start there. And from there, I went on and started and ran, you know, a nonprofit in North Carolina, the community organizing. And all of that experience really comes into what I do now and how I teach Instagram. And it really goes back to what you talked about, right? How do we magnetize people to us and our brands? How do we create relationships that are kind of, I like to think of creating relationships that are rooted in like shared values, stories, and experiences instead of rooted in a desire to monetize our relationship with people. And I always tell people too that, you know, I learned at the YMCA and doing nonprofit political and community organizing that I could get people to say yes to me to volunteer their time or to give me their money for nothing in exchange other than releasing themselves of whatever guilt they had about what was happening in the world at the time.
Well, and the Y is a benevolent group. They're not, marching in the streets for reparations. you know, they provide a health club here in Charlotte, and it's actually the health club of Charlotte.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
that's phenomenal.
Yeah. And so that was really cool. It's like having that experience and learning how to get people excited about something, how to get them bought into a cause, and how to get them to give their time and money to support that cause. And I'm able to pull that into what I do now and just in a different way, right? And marketing and positioning myself online and then teaching others.
Hey, everybody, this is Gina Tremarco
and Rachel Tipton,
and we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the new podcast that does what?
Makes sales sexy again.
What's this podcast about, Rachel?
It's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks, and it's filled with laughter, random chatter, practical advice, and some serious stuff.
It's not just for women, though, right?
No, it's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks for men and for women.
Listen to us on the Sell or Die Network,
womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and anywhere that you can find podcasts. And
be sure to subscribe, comment, share our podcast, and give us a review. Tune in and listen to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes sales sexy again.
You've been warned.
So how did you make that transition, and how did you know like you were interested in Instagram? What attracted you to it?
Yeah. So my last couple of years at the YMCA, I started doing more and more social media work and supporting the organization. The YMCA is like any nonprofit in that the fun little quote they love to say is you wear many hats, which is their way of saying you do a lot of people's jobs with only like one role and one salary. Right.
But you should also emphasize that you're underpaid.
I think I didn't want to say it, but since you did, yes.
Yeah, okay, cool.
It's okay. You can, Jeffrey.
Yeah. So the last couple of years at the Y, I started doing more and more social media work. I was helping with our Facebook strategy, Instagram, paid traffic strategies. And my last 6 months or so, I actually took on a marketing role. And my day was spent doing pretty traditional marketing, like ordering radio ads, figuring out flight schedules for print advertising, approving visuals, all these things for traditional advertising. And I hated it. It was like, I was not inspired. I was like sitting in the back of this dark cube, like paying for newspaper ads. It was horrible. And I started, at that point, I started doing the side hustle thing for like the third time. And the time I'd been at the YMCA, I'd had businesses before that I did on the side. And this next iteration of the side hustle was just started running people's Instagram accounts. And I didn't have much experience at that time. I'd run my own Instagram accounts. I had a small little side business for about a year at that point that I had run on Instagram. And
what year was this, Tyler?
This was 2015.
Okay. So yeah, 4 years ago.
Yeah. And I started running people's Instagram accounts. I went to a little gift shop in downtown Asheville that I loved, that I was a customer of. And I said, hey, I love your shop. I love what you do, but your Instagram makes me sad because it could be so much better. I'd love to run your Instagram account for you. And it's $300 a month. And they said, yeah, of course. So I got
my
first client.
So your Instagram makes me sad. Not it blows. Not it sucks.
He was being
not
nice.
Not it's stupid. Not it insults other people. Not it has nothing to do with running your business. Not you're a mom. It makes me sad.
Hey, he got the sale. He was being authentic.
No, that's a great
I love it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
I mean, I went in their store and their store was bright and fun and colorful. And like the moment you walked in, you could tell who their ideal customer was. And she was either a sorority girl from Charleston or like the three gay men living in Asheville. And like, and I was one of the three. And I was like, yes, like I know who your customer is. But when I go on Instagram, like you're not telling the world that that's who your aww, girl is.
Oh, so, cool.
It made me sad when I looked at their Instagram account. So I started running their Instagram account.
For way too little money.
For way too little. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's okay. That's how you start.
Okay. I love it. Keep going. This is so inspiring.
Yeah. And then I had a dear friend, a college friend who lived in Asheville as well. And she and I were both working marketing jobs. She was at a for-profit retail and restaurant in Asheville. I was working for the Y. And I had lunch with her one day and I said, hey, I think I want to start doing this side hustle thing. And I think I want to leave my job. And she said, I think I want to leave my job too. So we became business partners. And in February of 2016, we both left our full-time jobs. We started our agency. So for the next year, I ran an agency model business and she and I partnered together. We ran Instagram accounts. We did social media marketing. We did email marketing. We created content and we did everything in-house, photography, copy, all of that on our own.
Who made the sales?
It was a joint effort, but typically it was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you use the same concept? Your emails make me sad.
A lot of it at that point was really referral based. We were not
I'll tell you though, like, that's a great line.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really gentle. Cool. It's gentle. And the person, what do you mean makes you sad? Well, it fucking blows.
It doesn't reflect you. It doesn't reflect you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
It doesn't attract your best customer and it doesn't reflect who you really are.
Yeah.
And I can fix that. That's a great presentation.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I love it. And okay. I came up with that. I love this.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So I know what you do now, which is you don't. Well, I'll let you tell people.
Yeah, now you're a big shit.
How did you get from agency model to digital course membership, all that?
Yeah. So we ran the agency for about a year. It was great. I had a ton of fun. We undercharged. We grossly underpaid ourselves. I got in so much credit card debt, just trying to run this business, not knowing what I was doing. And at the end of that year, my business partner and I sat down and she was like, hey, I've been doing some soul searching and like, I don't love Instagram and I don't love marketing and I don't want to do this anymore. And I said, okay, great. So that's... okay.
Thanks for the debt, though.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the debt.
Yeah. So we decided to split and dissolve the business, and she went off and did her own thing. And she's very successful, like crushing it online now with her business. And I decided I was going to keep doing the agency thing. I kept a few of the clients we had. I started getting a few more clients and brought on like my first independent contractor employee to help manage our Instagram accounts. But what I realized at the time is that I wasn't where I wanted to be financially, revenue-wise, and I didn't want to take on more agency clients because, y'all, the agency model is just a lot of work.
Right, and it's a pain in the ass, and you can never satisfy people.
You can. Everyone always they're always annoyed about something, right? So we had six clients when we were doing full service Instagram management. That was plenty. I didn't want any more, but I wanted to make more money. So I started coaching. So when I would get inquiries about running people's Instagram accounts, my response was, thanks for thinking of me, but I'm not taking on any more clients, but I can teach you how to do your own. It's actually going to be cheaper if I teach you than if you pay me to do it for you. So I started doing coaching and built up the coaching and consulting side of my business, and then started building relationships with other agencies around Asheville that didn't have an in-house social person. So I would come in and write social strategy for their clients and teach them all the magic of social media. And then eventually that was just not sustainable. I built this great business. We were making lots of money, like things were going well. But part of my story I share online is my dad got really sick very suddenly and passed away very unexpectedly. And one of my greatest kind of failures in my business is one of my greatest personal failures in that the last time I saw my father before he died, I was working. Like I was literally on my laptop in the corner of his hospital room getting ready for a coaching call. And I would go out in the lobby of the ICU and take a coaching call or a consulting call. And I would come back and spend time with him. And that was not the kind of life I wanted. So I, at the end of 2017, or excuse me, end of the summer of 2017, I burned my whole business down. I had all my agency clients, all their contracts came up for renewal, and I didn't renew a single contract. I didn't take on any more coaching clients. All the coaching clients I had at that point, as their contracts expired, I didn't offer renewal. And I launched a membership site, an online membership site where I teach people at scale, teaching more people how to do what I was teaching one-on-one. And then that's the only thing I do now, which is incredible. But I had to do it. I had to do it. My life was not where I wanted it to be with the business side.
Wow, that's scary to leave everything you know and the financial security at that time of, okay, well, I know I'm bringing this in every month, and but I'm not. It's not aligned with my values.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's so inspiring.
Very well done.
That. Yeah.
And takes balls.
Hell yeah.
I mean, yeah. Let's see. I have this business. I'm getting income. Let me trash it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, at the point when I burned the bridges, as James Wedmore teaches, he talks about that in Business by Design, where we met. The point that I did that, we had six agency clients, and that was generating, I think, around $10,000 a month. And then I had like 17 coaching clients. I mean, we were doing, I think we did like $80,000 or $90,000 that year in the business and that business model. But it was just not like, for what end? To what end? Like, right. I could enjoy it.
And so tell me about your membership.
Yeah. So now we sell a membership product. It's called the Follower to Fan Society.
What is it?
The Follower to Fan Society.
Right.
And the main premise is we teach people a marketing, messaging, and positioning system that uses Instagram. So it's not an Instagram course. It is a client attraction and conversion system that we just happen to show you how to do on Instagram. Because Instagram is where I started and because I love Instagram. I think it works well for most businesses.
Yeah, you don't have to think. You just look at a picture.
But there's a science behind it. So let's talk about that. The marketing, messaging, and positioning. I love that.
And diehards, pay attention, because what he's doing, and I think this is an important part of Tyler's whole strategy, is he shares with you how to attract somebody, get them to pay to be in the process, and then convert them into his fan so he can tell you how to convert your customers and prospects into your fans.
Yes.
I mean, he's a fan dude.
So I'm assuming, like most people, you started out with one follower.
Oh, yeah.
And just like many of our diehards, and now you're at, I don't even know, but
I think it's like 30,000.
Yeah, that's it. Just 30,000. No,
that's
big
pretty
deal.
Good. Tyler.
That's amazing. And
thanks.
So,
but here's the thing, y'all. Like, not nearly as many as like other people who I may consider like competitors who are doing what I do. They have a ton more followers than
I do. Okay, but maybe it's not about the quantity, or is it? Mm-hmm. What is the strategy there? Is it about, you tell us?
Yeah, so I'm a big fan in quality over quantity. I say this a lot to students inside our community, is that a lot of people want more followers, but to what end? Mm. You know, if you can't figure out how to get the 100 or 1,000 people who follow you right now to buy your stuff, what the hell are you going to do with 10,000 or 100,000 followers?
Right.
So that's the first thing. And also, I'm really passionate about how do we take someone from, and you said it earlier, right? How do we take someone from just encountering us on Instagram, not knowing who the hell we are, from a post that was shared or from a hashtag, and then get them into our sphere of influence as quickly as possible? And I love Instagram because it makes it easy to do this really rapidly.
Well, how? Because, like, give us some
So I think the first thing that that we do is get really clear on that ideal follower, and then get okay with wanting only that person to follow us. So the quality becomes important there. So I don't care if I have 10,000 followers or 100,000 followers, if they're not my ideal person, I don't want them. And for some of our students, that even gets to the point of being so serious about this that they, like, they'll go through and block people who aren't their right followers. Like, totally, that's a strategy that you can use to get the following really correct with your people. And then the next thing is creating consistent content that's of high quality and being really specific about the kind of core messages you're sharing. So not spraying and praying with all these different types of content, only having two or three or maybe four messages you're consistently sharing with your audience. And
types of messaging, or in other words, a different, like if I'm going to do mine on sales and try to attract salespeople, then I create a daily sales message or two or three sales messages so that someone likes it and maybe even comments on it, but then shares
it. Exactly. Yeah. And we're really seeing on Instagram that more and more people are finding other accounts to follow based on content that's been shared with them, either shared directly through a DM or that's been shared on someone's Instagram story. So having those core messages of the content and then just consistently delivering on those messages, either through the feed. I think the other key part is you have to diversify your content delivery. So the feed is great, but the feed is not the priority for most Instagram users now. A majority of Instagram users, when they log on, they're spending their time consuming Instagram stories. Mm-hmm. So what we're really seeing and what we teach is for our students to focus on Instagram stories as the place to nurture relationships with their followers. The feed is where people are discovering you and they're making those follow decisions, which is still important. But stories are where you can really start having those conversations. And you can also get people in your DMs. And once someone's in your direct messages, you can, I mean, the whole world is your oyster. You can sell to them.
Are the Instagram stories video or are they photo?
A mix. So you can do both. And what we really see results with is diversifying the content type in a story. So a few videos, maybe talking head videos, then maybe a photo, maybe some text on the screen, just keeping the user engaged with the story. Instagram story retention is really the metric that I want folks to pay attention to on stories, is how many folks do you start with? How many are left at the end of your story in a 24-hour period? That should really be the indication of whether or not what you're doing is working with your people.
And so Jeffrey mentioned at the beginning being highly organized in order to be impactful on Instagram. How do you organize your stories? Because sometimes it seems like people are doing stories that are like so off the cuff where they're going on some rant or whatever. But I noticed
walking
that
through a railroad station swearing.
Yeah. But I watch your stories and they seem like they have a science behind them or a method behind them when I'm studying them from a how do I do this kind of perspective, you know, not when I'm just the average watcher. Right. I don't think that. But it seems like you have a science or a method to your madness.
There is a method. Yes. Okay. So here is the really crazy method that's going to blow your mind that you learned in elementary school.
Let's hear it.
And that is that all good stories have beginnings, middles, and ends.
Ooh.
And I know, right? It's so simple. But one of the biggest mistakes businesses and brands make on Instagram stories in particular is they create a story without the ending in mind. They don't know where the story's going. And what happens over time is you train your audience that you are an unreliable content creator because they're always going to lost and confused, right? They're always going to be lost and confused the moment they engage with your content. The moment they see your story pop up, they're not going to have any context for the beginning or what they're about to experience. Or you start a story and you never finish it, so people don't know, they don't know what the heck to expect from you.
Go for it.
So you started with Once Upon a Time and you ended with They All Live Happily Ever After.
Pretty much. That's what it comes down to. Yeah. Like you want to give people context at the beginning. It's also important to give them that context because you want to give them an out from the very beginning of the story too. If they don't want to watch it, you want them to go away.
You don't just want an out, you want an outcome.
Yeah, exactly. And you
want to see how they're either out or outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you determine the mix between a sales strat, like a tip, right?
Yeah.
Of whatever you're trying to teach, like Jeffrey mentioned, sales strategies versus actual personal relatable content. Because like I follow you, right? And I knew you were moving to Asheville and I saw your home search and I was so excited when you picked the home and because you showed us the insides and like, you know, I feel like I know you even though you have no idea who I am, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but that's what makes me a fan.
Nor does he really want to know who we are.
Right, I mean, obviously. Yeah. But that's what makes me a fan because I feel like I know you. So now that I feel like I know you, I want to know what you have to say about Instagram. But how do you determine as our, like our diehards, our salespeople and entrepreneurs, how do they determine that balance? Like what's too much personal versus too much just strategy? Where do they draw the line?
Oh, this is such a good question. There's so much here. So I think the first thing is to decide I think it's to get really clear on the purpose behind your desire to build a relationship with people on Instagram. So what I mean by that is that my goal when I create content on Instagram is to build a relationship with my community that is based around shared values, stories, and experiences. My desire is not to build a relationship with them based on the goal of monetizing that relationship. I know that when I build a relationship with people based on, we have shared values, so I value this, you value that, this is how I can connect those. When I create content around shared experiences, so for example, buying a home or simply going to Target for me is a shared experience with my audience. And when I create when I create content around those shared stories, that I can build a relationship with you where you know about me, where we have this really interesting kind of scaled intimacy where I've been able to scale relationships with people who I don't even know who they are, but they know so much about my life and my relationship with them that's based on that and that connection. So then when it comes time for me to sell them something, the sell is so much easier because that trust is inherent in it's baked into our relationship.
Mm. For our diehards out there, when did you start getting serious about Instagram? How many followers did you have at that time? And how many do you have right now?
So I started getting serious about so here's the other thing. I was running Instagram accounts for other people, but the cobbler's children had no shoes. I wasn't doing shit with my Instagram account. Yeah. Like, anything. So I got serious about my Instagram in the summer of 2016. And at that point I had, I think maybe like 3,000 or 4,000 followers. And then today we have over 30,000 followers on my Instagram.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
And are you growing that account?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, we're growing that account. We use some different methods. We teach some inside our community for outward engagement strategies. This is a big thing about Instagram now that people don't understand is that organic growth on Instagram doesn't really happen as much anymore because user habits have changed on the platform. So whereas people would just spend their time, you know, wasting their time, honestly, looking at hashtags and things like that. They don't do that as much because people spend their time on Insta stories now. So if you want to grow your following, you have to be proactive. You have to go out and find your followers.
What do you mean by that? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. So it's a mix of, first of all, creating highly shareable content. So content that is either getting shared in other people's stories or shared directly by other people to attract
highly shareable, highly interesting, highly valuable, highly, how do you define
that? It doesn't have to be, it can be valuable, but more and more what we're seeing is content that are the memes, the cartoons, the quotes, the tweets, those types of posts that really get people that mm-hmm. are either triggering people, that are bothering people, that are really like an aha for people, or things that make people laugh or smile or make their day a little bit better. I think every niche is a little bit different too. So some niches have a little more tolerance for content that could be a little ballsier than other niches.
Gotcha. I like ballsy.
Yeah. Yeah. So like for your niche in the sales world, when you're talking, you know, sales strategy, you could post on your Insta story, like, you know, like I had a post that said, it's not the algorithm's fault that no one likes your shitty content, you know?
Right. It ain't the algorithm. Posts. It's the algorithmer.
Yeah. So like that was one of my most popular pieces of content. It pissed a lot of people off, but it also got a lot of people magnetized to me in my brand. So creating content like that. And then the other side of this is you have to go out and find those people. So hashtags, we teach target accounts inside Follower to Fan Society. So there's different types of target accounts. One of the most common ones you can think of are competitors. So people who do what you do, who sell what you sell, who teach what you teach, going out on Instagram, going to their account and looking for the people who are engaging with their content and then following those people back to their account and liking and commenting on their
posts. And they're all visible, correct?
Unless their account is private, then it's all visible. You can see all of this happening.
Wow. So we can take the person we're competing with. We looked at who liked
And even better than likes, who commented on their posts.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
This is also where you figure out if your competitors know what they're doing or not, because you go to their post and you're like, no one likes this. They're not getting any comments.
They had three comments.
Yeah, their content's kind of shitty, so maybe I don't want their followers.
Right? I'm going to tell you, diehards, if you're a salesperson right now and you think that Instagram, quote, is not for me or Twitter's not for me.
That your people aren't on Instagram.
Yeah, you're totally full of shit, and you're probably going to lose to your competitor who is engaged and involved.
And I tell you right now, when you get someone in your direct message, this is why I love stories, because stories are the gateway to a direct message. So One of the things I talk about in my marketing is that one of the most popular Instagram stories I ever did was when I was at Target shopping for a vacuum cleaner. And I had so many people direct messaging me about what kind of vacuum cleaner to get. And when you make content like that, it sounds so stupid.
What'd you buy?
I bought a Dyson.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Like, why wouldn't I, right?
Right.
It's a status thing.
No one ever got fired for buying a Dyson.
Yeah, exactly.
So just think about what content can you create that seems so simple or trivial that it's going to spark conversations with your people. Because once they are in your DMs through something as simple as that, think about how used they are, how they get so used to having that conversation with you. So when you make the pitch in an Insta story or say, hey, this is a problem I saw for my customer or client. If that's a problem you have, I'd love to chat with you. Send me a DM. It becomes so easy for them because they've had that conversation before. And once you get DMs, the thing changes. So, for example, we met through Business by Design, which was a program I was an affiliate for. We did nearly $500,000 in sales of Business by Design last fall. With me, I was the number one affiliate. My first affiliate launch, my list size at that time was under 15,000. And I'm going up against people with hundreds of thousands of people on their mailing list, fans on Facebook, all that good stuff. Me with my small audience of about 50,000 people, we did nearly $500,000 in sales. 80% of those sales came from Instagram direct messages.
Wow.
Yeah, I DM'd him. I was like, where's the link? I need the link. Send me the link, Tyler.
Okay, so
where do I pay?
Yeah.
Literally.
First of all, Tyler, way to go.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have emerged and you have capitalized on it in a way that I think is very, I don't want to use the word altruistic, but true to your beliefs.
Yes.
You didn't do it to monetize it, but somehow on accident, you tripped over a bunch of money.
And I keep tripping over it, so I'm going to keep doing what I'm
doing. Okay, so that's a pretty good challenge for you diehards. If you're in sales to make a lot of money, you're probably not.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to rise to some level of mediocrity. And my latest quote is that one of the reasons that salespeople do not mature and only reach a level of mediocrity is that they're only focused on their income, not on the sales outcome.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you're focused on outcome.
And I think too, being focused on that, I think so many people are, especially in this entrepreneurial world, are so obsessed with the short-term gain that they're not looking at the long-term impact of what they're doing. And I would much rather spend time building a nurturing relationship, building a community on Instagram that is going to be worth millions of dollars in the years to come than trying to make a quick $100,000 this year or this month from people on Instagram.
Picking up nickels, stepping on dollars.
What do you say to someone, though, who feels like they're being, and this is not me, but feels like they're being consistent on Instagram stories. They feel like they're delivering value and, you know, the actual, like, intimate part of their lives that they want to share to create connection. And they're posting in their feed consistently, that kind of thing, but they're not gaining followers. What are some of the mistakes they may be making or pitfalls they may be falling into that they should, you know, prevent?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is they're not spending time going out and engaging with new people. So that's one of the easiest things you can fix. So 5-10 minutes a day while you're waiting in line at Starbucks, waiting in the car at carpool, whatever that may be, that time, and I talk a lot about this, are you logging on Instagram as a content consumer? Are you logging on to simply look and consume content? Are you logging on as an entrepreneur, as a content creator? And there's a much different approach for those two people.
Yeah.
So if you're logging on as I'm a business owner, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm the salesperson, I'm logging on to generate leads, to prospect, to get people to have those conversations, those 5 or 10 minutes are going to be spent a lot differently than someone who's just logging on to like watch the latest, you know, GIF or like find out the latest Kardashian news, right? And I think there's totally space for both of those things. I do both in my business, but I don't log on and consume and just watch content and then bitch when I'm not getting more followers. It's like, no, y'all, you need to like go out and find the people. So I think that's the first thing. I think the next thing is to think about, is your content actually valuable and interesting? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get caught up in this habit of creating a lot of how-to content that is just kind of contributing to the noise for people. And it's also keeping your followers stuck. And it's also keeping them from buying your stuff because you're overwhelming them with all the tips and tricks and how-tos and do this and do that. They're never going to buy your stuff because you're keeping them too busy with
all the free. You're giving it for free.
Yeah, exactly.
The first part of your answer makes me think of that entrepreneur who has this amazing business idea and then opens up a storefront. And they say, well, I've opened up, so now they're going to come.
Yeah.
And it's like, just because you turned on Instagram and created an account doesn't mean they're going to follow you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the last thing is people are like, they're trying to create and sell stuff that no one actually wants, you know? And I see that as a big issue, especially in the online business world, because just because you have the knowledge to share and you pick the format to share it in doesn't mean that's how people want it, you know, or maybe people do, but you don't have the right people in your audience who want that.
Yeah. Okay. One more question. You post these great stories and you have these subscribers, these members. How do you go from story to member?
Okay, so we do this, for us, we do it in a few different ways. So the first thing is that all my content I create is sales content. It's not all salesy, it's not all promotional, but every piece of content I create is moving the needle, either in the mindset of my audience, either in the belief of what they can achieve, either in the identity of what I want to reinforce or the identity that I want them to pull away from, like they don't want to be that person. All my content is sales content. The next thing is that we have an automated sales process in our business. So I don't live launch anything. I don't live promote what I do. From there, I can simply start having conversations with people. And when they ask me about Instagram, I get them to a free resource. For us, we do that in the form of an automated webinar. And then the automated webinar does the selling for us.
You get them to the end and say, click here.
Exactly. And then, but I don't.
How long is that webinar?
It's about an hour and 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is it selling in the middle or is it only waiting till the end to sell?
So I think I sell at about the 40-minute mark in that class. Yeah. Wow. The other thing that we do too, which a lot of people are not doing, is that you have to stop giving up the conversation. You have to stop owning the relationship when you give them the call to action. So I see people do this all the time. They'll say, go to the link in my bio, swipe up, or send me a DM and I'll get you the thing. And then that's all they do. And I think that's so fucking lazy.
What else should they do?
So for me, we bake it into the webinar. So one of my calls to action in the webinar is share on Instagram stories right now that you're watching, or send me a DM with a photo of you watching the class, right?
Oh, then you can follow up with them.
Exactly. So they get a message back from me that says, thanks so much for watching. What was your biggest takeaway? What are you going to do differently? Okay, cool. So you're going to do that differently. How can I support you in making that change in your Instagram strategy?
I freaking love that.
Good job, bub.
I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's why I hate the swipe. You know, people see all the time, I have to wait till I get to 10,000 followers to get the swipe up. No, you don't. And as someone that has the swipe up, it ain't that great. I can tell you right now, I would much rather get someone in my direct messages. And if they ask me about Instagram, I can send them a free resource and then I can follow up and say, did you download that free guide? What did you think? What did you learn?
You know what though? The swipe up is it. I swipe up.
I think some people do. But
Jeffrey buys like everything that is marketed to him in the home improvement department on Instagram.
I have all the fruit cutters. And don't laugh at it. The pineapple cutter is a pretty fucking good deal.
I'm of the belief at this age in marketing that Facebook and Instagram know what I need more than I do.
Bingo.
Yes, exactly.
And they know that I am a mark. And they
have found him.
I got a pair of sneakers the other day.
That's where they came from?
Yeah.
Also, this is what I do now when I see something I like, but I don't want to buy it right then. I make sure I go to their website and click around and add some stuff to my cart so I'll get retargeted and I'll just wait.
Actually, if they don't retarget, they're idiots.
I put something in the cart and leave it.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, you forgot to. Okay. Or I snap it. You know, I take a photo of it and put it in my own photo so I don't want to be bugged by them, but I want to stop.
Man. All right, Tyler, is there any place else besides Instagram or Follower Fan Society that people should go to find out more about you?
Yeah, so tylerjmccall.com/free. That'll get you over to that free masterclass I talked about earlier. And then, yeah, Tyler J. McCall on Instagram. Let me know you listen. Let me know what questions you have.
Cool. We'll put you in the show notes, Tyler, and you will become an instant. Well, you already are, but you'll get another half a dozen followers. I swear to God,
and or my money back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All of it. In fact, we will double your money back. How about that? We don't just mess around here.
Oh man.
So that was pretty damn good.
Yep.
I mean, he gets it, he understands it, and he looks like he's 12 years old, but he's actually like 30 or something, isn't he?
I don't know how old he is.
Oh, wait, yeah. Didn't he say he was 25 or something like that?
I have no idea.
Well, to be fair, there are 12-year-olds on the internet right now with millions.
Yeah. That is correct. There are 12-year-olds out there with way more followers than us. However,
Instagram says you can't be on until you're 13.
However old Tyler is, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, his impact
is so well established and really knowledgeable about how to create an online business.
And I gave Tyler that idea to have a fan as a business card. But diehards, you could do the same thing.
Well, everyone be walking around with fans now?
If you have a great following and you don't have some fans, something's wrong.
Yeah. So
there's millions of different kinds of fans. Just go for it.
One of the things I loved about what Tyler said and was when you're posting on Instagram and you're creating a story, every good story has a beginning, middle, and end. Now, it seems so simple because, as he said, we learned that in kindergarten. But the thing is, most people are not doing it. And it's like a lot of the concepts we teach where, people are like, oh, Jeffrey, oh, Jen, I know that. But it's not I know that. It's how good are you at that?
I want you to think about this. I want you to think about show and tell when you were in the second grade and the teacher brought you up to the front of the room and you talked about your new baseball glove or your hat or whatever. You went to Disneyland. And think about how you did that. You were shuffling around. You're probably nervous as hell. But it's not show and tell anymore. It's show and sell. And your job is to be able to create that transferable moment in the process. Correct?
Yeah. And sometimes, it's not like selling a product or a service. It's selling yourself. It's communicating your value. It's communicating your worth. It's communicating why should people stop the scroll and start to follow you and really pay attention to what you're doing. And so that could be the sell. Okay, so don't always think about like, well, I need to post something promotional. Hell no. Post things that people are gonna get to know about you and love you.
What I see a lot on social media are salespeople that really just post about their services and how to purchase them. What part of the story is that, and what parts of the story are they missing if they're only tweeting, Instagramming about their services?
I think it's the wrong part. There's nothing personal about it. I don't feel a connection.
Where's the beginning, middle, and end to that? So where's the...
The beginning is I want to make a sale. The middle is here's my shit. And the end is please buy it now.
That sounds like it's all about you, Mr. Joe salesperson, and I don't like it. So instead,
I want to see a testimonial in the middle.
But instead, why don't you be talking about the issues that your people are facing? That's the beginning of the story. That's where they start. They start with something that they want to change or something they want to improve or something they want to learn or grow. And then there's the middle, like, I found the solution. And then there's the end. But really, like what Tyler was saying is people need to get to know you. Not so much your products, okay? Because they don't give a shit about your products until they know you. Like, he doesn't post all about Instagram marketing all day long, okay? Tyler posts about he just bought a house in Asheville right near us. He goes to Target and loves Target. He posts about his travels, his masterminds, his learnings. Like, I know who Tyler is, even if he doesn't know me.
Exactly. At all.
Okay. But that made me want to buy from Tyler because I loved who he was as a person and I trusted and still do. I trust him. And so if you want your people to do the same for you and buy from you, stop posting about your damn shit. They don't care.
So think about it this way. You have an idea. I want to know what the purpose of that idea is. What's the value of this to me as a listener or as someone who's following you? What actions do I have to take in order to be able to make that happen? And what's the outcome going to look like? And is anybody willing to talk about what their outcome was in order to reinforce it or prove it? Because there's all kinds of social proof now on social media. And the question is your story worth a five? But let me take it deeper into that. When Tyler was talking about his stuff, there's an automatic thing with stories. When someone tells their stories, it makes you think of your story. And what you need to do is document that story right away so that you'll be able to tell it with purpose. And then when you document the story, take a little while and flesh it out. What'd you learn? What can other people learn? What was the value? What was the outcome? And how can others benefit from that when they take advantage of it? That's the key.
Yeah. You know, so we got peaches this week from the peach truck. Yeah. It's like literally at the peach truck on Instagram.
This is like an online service.
Yeah. They're supposed to be, they say that they are the best peaches like on the planet, basically.
They're pretty good. They're not the greatest.
Well, you haven't had one yet. That's ripe.
Yes, I did.
Oh, I thought you told me it wasn't ripe.
Right. Well, I mean,
I think we've lost the peach truck.
Okay. Hold on. So back up a second. So these 13 peaches arrive at our doorstep and I do this whole unboxing on Instagram. Like, look, my peaches finally came. And I show how beautiful the peaches are. And then I say to everyone, they say that they're the best, but I don't know. I'll give you a review later. And that story was my most engaged story all week. So I can give you sales tips. I can give you entrepreneurial tips, but people DM'd me wanting to know how the freaking peaches were, because after I unboxed them, Jeffrey told me that none of them were ripe enough to eat. So I didn't eat any. So I forgot to go back and tell my people.
So they're
that
all
I didn't,
set out on the counter now.
They are. They're ripening.
But we're squeezing them every day.
But I didn't go back and finish the end, which is, hey guys, review coming. Okay. And I cannot even tell you. I mean, I had to like respond to all these DMs. Like, how are the peaches? Should I get them? What did you think?
Watch Jen's Instagram on Sunday or Monday when she takes a bite out of the peach and tells you what the outcome is.
But
exactly. Exactly. Those are the best fucking turnips I think we ever had.
Oh man, he turned it up.
So let's get back to Tyler.
Okay, there's one other thing that he talked about that I really want to talk about.
Cool.
Which is consistency. Now, do you remember what happened when we started this podcast?
Yeah.
I'll remind you.
Yeah, we did it every once in a while. We did it Women of the Week.
We like sort of showed up when we felt like it.
Yeah, and Doug said, hey, you want to do a podcast? We go,
yeah, sure. Yeah, and then we'd have it on the calendar and we'd reschedule it because something else would come up and we weren't very good at it.
One day Doug said, you know, if we really want followers and we really want to build something out of this, we have to be consistent. Literally, that was Doug's statement.
But to me, this was like a come to Jesus moment. He sat down with us and he asked one simple question. Do you guys want to continue the podcast? We need to make a decision.
Yeah.
And in our heads, we're like, hell yeah, of course we do. What are you talking about, Doug? We love the podcast.
Yeah.
And he was like,
I didn't consider it a come to Jesus.
Oh, for me it was.
It was come to Moses.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Moses kind of guy.
Okay.
Exactly.
But literally, Doug asked us this one question. Do you want to continue the podcast? And we're like, of course. And he's like, okay. So if you are saying yes, that means that if you have a Monday show, it needs to come out.
On Monday.
Every Monday.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh.
Yeah, so that, yeah.
And so it seems so simple and so logical. But now you guys listen. You listen to us on your drive to work. You listen to us at the gym. You listen to us when you're walking the dogs. You listen to us during your routine. And we are very grateful for that. And we get so many people writing in saying, like, we are a part of your day. You're listening to us on the way to your sales calls. Well, imagine if just one day we didn't show up.
Well,
and then imagine if we were sporadic all of a sudden.
What Jen is saying is, if you want to do what we do, be consistent.
Yes, and that's exactly what Tyler is saying.
Yeah.
If you want to grow a following, if you want to grow an audience, if you want to cultivate people enough to make them want to buy whatever it is you're selling, you need consistency.
I concur, Jen. Let me give you one more tip before we go.
Stay out of New Jersey?
Nope. Think about your story as the same way you were told a story when you were in the second grade or the third grade. Once upon a time, then the body of the story, And the ending is they all lived happily ever after. And so you're talking about what's the purpose of the story, number one, what's the middle of the story, which is the story itself, and then what is the outcome? And that's where you live in Storyville.
Well, Die Hard, here's to your happily ever after.
Yeah.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there with your story and make a sale, even if your ass falls off.
Die Hard. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true Sell or Die Hard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellerDieNetwork.com.